Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome in another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew recording live from our studios at Meat House Fork. Did y'all notice how I didn't say new? Because they're no longer new. Matter of fact, I'm going to start cleaning up. Fixing some stuff, upgrading some things. He told me I had to get some earbuds or whatever, but we're doing it. It's no longer new. It's the studios at Meat House Fork. What I have with me today is a fired up Heath Elson-san and then Wesley Coleman, and we're going to preview the NFL draft, at least from the Saints perspective, and maybe do a little bit of overview, which will be coming this week with the way the offseason is. There's not a lot of stuff going on. I think this is probably the most exciting time of the offseason. Yeah, not probably. What am I talking about? It's the single most exciting thing that happens. But I promise you, next week, whenever we get maybe a few videos, a few pictures of the guys over in New Orleans practicing with the team, which are they still having? I think they said the mandatory practices, and usually they have those rookie camps or whatever after practice. Are they going to have that this year? Do you know?
They're doing workout Zoom meetings the same as that we do with each other on. I think it's doing the same thing.
I wonder if we can log in on their feed to watch them work out, or is it just no?
I don't know. It'll probably be a bit effective.
Everything that we talk about today, I'm actually going to release my final mock draft on Friday for the first round.
Yeah,
I've got a few things I'm still putting together. Everything I say today, though, my final draft will be on Friday.
On Friday. That makes a lot of sense. I like that. The much anticipated final mock draft from Wesley Coleman be released on Friday.
Yeah.
Now, will that include, that'll just be your first round mock,
just
right?
Just the first round.
Okay.
Those other guys, I can't really stand to dig into that, but I anticipate it being pretty accurate.
All right. Now, Heath, you seem pretty fired up, man. You're very excited. I understand. Now, I just gathered this from my sources that you're really high on Justin Fields.
Yeah. I'm about as high as any other team that would pick him in the top five. As far as I'm concerned, but yeah, no.
Not your guy,
Justin
huh?
Fields fan, no.
Okay, man, we'll have to Cecil Fields.
Put him in another really already long list of Ohio State quarterbacks that are going to wind up on a trash heap.
So you know what?
It's all said and done.
I didn't mean to do this, Heath, but since we started talking about this, let's go into an article I read, and I didn't realize this, but Randy Mueller, the old Saints GM, has a website, and he actually put up quite a few good articles, and I looked it up, and so you guys might want to check it out. But one of the things he talked about was the quarterback situation in general, and he talked about the history of it, what have you, and I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said that NFL teams are losing their minds with overdrafting and with coaches thinking that they can scheme up and overcome deficiencies, and they are moving guys that in some cases aren't even really considered first-round draft picks into the top 10, and I'm reading it everywhere, that there could be five quarterbacks taken in the top 15.
Oh yeah, I think it'll be even higher than the top 15. But unless this turns out to be, you know, the draft that Elway, the famous draft that produced all the big quarterbacks and all, there's going to wind up being a ton of disappointment down the road from this draft at quarterback. But I guess it's being driven by the fact that this has become such a quarterback-driven league that these teams are desperate, because when you really look at the list of quarterbacks in the NFL, the starters, you don't even get to halfway before you really stretch in to try to call a guy really a quality quarterback, right? Compared to the top, the upper echelon of guys, the Breezes and the Bradys, and you start running out of steam really quick when you start looking at these guys. And so Teams are desperate, man, to hit the you know, find that diamond in the rough or whatever, the next guy, because the success of the teams so largely depends on it.
Yeah, absolutely. In the past, you can have a team that's kind of built on defense and a run game and a quarterback that's just efficient.
Right.
Nowadays, and I look at it and say, too, you know, it's not that these guys suck. We talk about the kid over with the Vikings, Cousins. He doesn't suck. He's a good quarterback if you look at his stats. But in this league, being good isn't good enough. You have to be excellent. You have to be top of the heap. Right. And there's just absolutely not enough quarterbacks to go around, Wesley.
Yeah. Also, I mean, you've got a guy, you're saying it perfect. Kirk Cousins is making $30 million a year too, guaranteed. So, I mean, again, not that great. Nobody will say that he's one of the greatest quarterbacks. So this is even more of a reason to stretch on these first round guys. And just, I mean, you'd rather lose it on a first round quarterback that might make it, because if you do, you're saving yourself $30 million a year where you can possibly build that Super Bowl contender, make a playoff run for the last 2 years, and then decide if you're going to pay him $35-40 million a year if he's good.
Well, yeah. And yeah, I've made that point, and I think that's the worst part of the scenarios, get caught in the middle ground, because you know that, okay, let's separate the league just for argument's sake. You have the top quarterbacks, and let's just say there's 10 of them. Then you have 5, 6, 8 more guys that are good quarterbacks. Your Kirk Cousins, right? Well, then after that, it's horrid. You don't have a chance to win. So when you get a Kirk Cousins, you either pay him or become one of those teams that can't win a game or win 3 or 4 games a year. Right. So you end up, you might not pay them top money, but like second tier money is, instead of $40 million, it's $35 million. And that still means you can't find anybody else to help that team win. In other words, bring in the offensive line to protect him, bring in receivers to help him, do everything you need to help the team win, because you're still paying the quarterback way too much.
Agreed, definitely. It's crazy how top heavy it's getting there.
All right, so let's transition and back to where I thought we'd originally start with it, but is I have a plan, and I'm going to go over it, and what I want to do is get your ideas on your plan and how you want to see the draft unfold. Now, obviously, none of this is going to work, because after I get finished giving you my brainchild of how I've been thinking of the offseason, what's going to end up happening is they're going to draft a guard and kind of blow the whole situation up.
Yeah.
So, but ideally, and I try to plug in what makes most sense that would fill needs with guys who you can get in those spots. Because let's say, you know, look, we need a quarterback hypothetically. Well, you're not going to get that guy in the third round. So you're almost forced to get him early. So my first, I'm looking at this as 4 picks, first round pick, a second round pick, and 2 third round picks. So my idea is ideally I want to get that cornerback, because quite frankly, I don't think you can get a top level quarterback or cornerback late in the game, second, third round. Not that it couldn't happen, but the chances diminish greatly. Having said that, you can have a hard time at 28 finding a cornerback that. Now, keep in mind, though, here's the thing. He's only going to have to play second because you have Marshon Lattimore, and that's assuming that Lattimore gets over his issues. You need to have a guy in there. So I look at a guy like Newsom who could drop, and that's a guy. Now, another guy that I think is a very good cornerback, but he lacks size. But here's the thing. Jackrabbit lacks size. If you're the number two, maybe you have a guy like Lattimore takes the bigger receivers. A guy like Samuels from Florida State takes the smaller guys, the quicker guys, the change of direction guys. So I think you could go with a smaller guy and get a guy like that late in the first, or even maybe in the second. Now, moving on, I think that after I saw what Alexander did for the Saints defense, I would like to see a smaller, faster linebacker in there. But it also predicates another issue, which is we already lost defensive tackles. We lost a good bit of run stopping, and we need run stoppers. I believe you can get a run stopper later in the draft that's a one-trick pony that just stops the run with a guy like Shelvin from LSU or Bobby Brown from Texas A&M, and I'd like to see one of those guys in the third. What I would like to see is a guy like LSU's Cox or Davis from Kentucky, who are fast athletic guys. But we just got finished talking about Cox and Davis. It looks like they're kind of you know, Davis has a ton of potential, and it looks like, you know, he's going to go higher than what was expected in the third round. Cox might be a little lower. So maybe we can get one of those guys in the second or third round. And I do think this is the hardest position that I have trying to plug a player in, is I do think the Saints need a long-legged, deep receiver, a fast guy. And one of the guys I've brought to your attention is it McMath from LSU. McMath, yeah. Now, again, I'm going to tell you that I don't see a guy that fits the mold, and I'm not saying – I mean, he seems to be more like a fourth or fifth rounder, but I don't think that the Saints need a guy that can catch 60 balls. I just think that you need someone fast that can clear the field out. So if I had my way, I would go with one of those cornerbacks in the first round. Which, again, I tried to plug in a player that I think would fit the criteria and be available in those spots, and I named a couple of those. In the second round, I'd like to see either that linebacker. I don't think you're going to get the defensive tackle in the second round that you're looking for, but I think you can get what you need in the third round or even in the fourth round. And I also would like to see somewhere in there, it's just in that third round range, I don't see the burner. I don't see that guy. And, you know, maybe you guys might be able to, you know, turn me on to some guys that you like that could be that long leg receiver that gets downfield. But I just don't know. So first, I'm going to start off with Wesley. Wesley, break down what I'm talking about and then go into your idea. Like, if you have some thoughts or not like some of the things that I'm talking about or disagree, please feel free to discuss it with me. And then after we do that, then why don't you break down maybe your plan for the top of the draft?
Yeah, first I'd say I'd see somebody like Jabril Cox. I mean, I think that he's going to have a pro day. Isn't he supposed to be like tomorrow or something like that? He's supposed to have some sort of another workout that they're talking about right before the draft. That depending on how he runs, like he could keep moving down or up. But I think his coverage skills that he has kind of makes it to where the other things he can learn. I think he can be more aggressive towards the run. He can be more physical, where coverage skills are much harder to develop, if that makes sense. I think he has.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Hardest to develop. So I could see him moving up and getting drafted earlier. I kind of go back and forth. So linebacker, and we've talked about this, I think linebacker is a need for us. We play so many sets with one or two linebackers on the field. Like, it's not going to surprise me if instead of a linebacker, we're drafting a safety and have four or five safeties on the field. So now, having said that, there are linebackers that I like. I mean, some of the top end first round linebackers, like I like Zaven Collins a whole lot. If somebody like him is available at 28, and that really goes into, so my priorities, first round draft pick needs to be cornerback to me.
Agreed. Completely agree.
Somebody, hoping that somebody like, I mean, J.C. Horn's not going to be there. That's a pipe dream. And we can't trade up to 10 or 11 to get somebody like him. But if somebody like Farley or Newsom falls, I think that gives us a shot. And really, these quarterbacks we were talking about, we can get five or six ridiculous quarterbacks picked before pick 28. That really helps drive down some of those guys. And Farley, with his injury concerns, I think he's worth the risk to take if somebody like him falls to close enough to get at 28 or trade up a few spots, because he's a number one cornerback if he's healthy. I think you take that. It's kind of that, I think that's a better risk than some of the quarterbacks people are talking about taking risks on in the first round. I'd take a risk on his injury before a quarterback who can't play quarterback learning to play quarterback.
Okay.
So cornerback is where I lean first. I don't know if I can see us sitting still. It's just, I know we talk about this, and this is, if somebody's not going to fall to us, this is the year to trade back and grab right. that receiver or something. But I really am not going to be surprised if we jump up to somewhere between like 17 and 21 to cut off somebody trying to get Newsom.
But let me interject this, Wesley. Yep. I think, like, every time I think that, like, look, in the past, the Saints had a packed roster. You go get the guy you want. And that's what the Saints MO is. Yep. And, you know, this year we have holes to fill. You can't be trading picks away to get, having said that, I can't convince myself the Saints aren't going to trade up instead of trade down. You know, show me where have they done it before and I'll believe you. But, and so I'm with you that it looks like it's more likely that they trade up just because of history.
I mean, on that same note, where none of us are going to be surprised when they pick an offensive lineman with the first pick and they pick a defensive lineman with the second pick.
I mean, absolutely.
We're going to sit here and talk about speed receivers and cornerbacks and linebackers, and they're going to take an offensive lineman and a defensive lineman with the first two picks. And I mean, that's just the way it's, I mean, it's not going to surprise me. I'm not going to be mad about it. It is what it is. I've kind of come to expect it, but we've talked about, and we don't want to go too far in that speculation, but I mean, there's a lot of speculation out there that Richard Sherman has a handshake deal with the Saints and is waiting it after the draft for, so that it doesn't count towards the compensatory, just like Jameis Winston did last year.
Right.
Agree or disagree with that, there might be contingency plans that just the Saints haven't let anybody know about yet. I think cornerback is where we need to be in the first. And I mean, again, talk about what the Saints do and don't do. They don't draft two defensive players in a row. They don't draft two offensive players in a row. So it's where if I'm making the draft, I'm like, man, first round cornerback, second round linebacker. But again, they don't do that. So, I mean, it's just, if you're following what they've done in the past, if you go cornerback or linebacker in the first, you've got to talk about receiver, tight end, or some sort of offensive player with that second pick too.
Yeah.
Agree with you on the bigger speed receiver. I think that we've got to, we're changing quarterbacks. Drew Brees isn't the one throwing the ball anymore. We've got a quarterback, hopefully, who can get the ball downfield, and there's got to be a way to get that big receiver on the field that can do that. And I mean, having said that, you know, Tre'Quan Smith, like, Drew Brees was not the best quarterback for him. Like, his role in college, he averaged over 21 yards of catch his senior year, or his last year in college. We haven't had the quarterback that can necessarily take advantage of what he can do.
Right.
He's a downfield guy. I mean, Marcus Callaway did the same thing doing special teams at Tennessee. So we've got a couple of guys that can do that. I don't know how much faith of what I saw last year of that they necessarily the ones that can fill in for with Emmanuel Sanders gone without doing something else.
Well, I would say that, like, we don't know, but I have a little bit more confidence that, you know, the right quarterback can make a receiver even better, or maybe take away from something that they do. Hypothetically, if the Saints would have had, you know, a 6'3 guy that ran 4'3, he would have been completely underutilized in the Saints offense the last 2 years. So there is something to be said that maybe the change does improve certain players, you know, ability to shine in the offense.
100%. And this is, I mean, we're talking about a light years different. I mean, the same thing we talk about Michael Thomas. Go back to watch what Michael Thomas was doing his first year, his rookie year in the league, or even in sometime his second year when Drew Brees' arm was still a little more lively. Michael Thomas was a downfield threat, catching 35, 40-yard touchdowns. I mean, so and that's not necessarily his game. So the kind of guy that you're talking about that's actually made to play that way, I mean, can be a huge threat in this. And we know Sean Payton is going to push the ball, and he's going to open up defenses and do that kind of stuff.
Okay. No, I like it. So far, it sounds like we're on the same page now.
Cornerback, linebacker, wide receiver, we've got to be in there. And just understanding that the Saints are probably going to draft offensive line, defensive line, and some sort of blocking tight end that we never suck up.
Right. Well, okay, all this stuff, the bottom line on this is all this is great, interesting conversation. But when it's all said and done, we really need to be focusing on the guards and centers in the draft. And yeah, I got to tell you, I haven't looked at any of them. All right, Heath, thank you for waiting. But we'd like to hear your draft plan for the top of the draft, you know, for what would that be, Friday, Thursday and Friday?
Yeah. Well, I really see the Saints going punter in the first round.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we lost Thomas Morstead, and that's a big hole we got now. I mean, look, I have the list stacked the same. Cornerback to me is by far and away the biggest need that this team has, lest we all forget what it was like pre-Jackrabbit when we had – Eli Apple and Ken Crawley and company trying to man that position over there, and what a difference Jenkins made when he came in.
Yes.
And then you get to linebacker, and you could say the same thing about Alexander, right? We remember what it was like before Alexander and what a difference he made when he came in. So those – I have cornerback first, but you could easily flip-flop those two positions between linebacker and cornerback, I suppose. The problem with the draft is – you know, especially with all us guys that just sitting around trying to figure out what these teams might do, is that, okay, so you have, what is the need? how do you have these guys stacked up? But then you got to figure in the value, right? Take Samuels, for instance. Okay. So let's say all the cornerbacks we expect to be gone are going to be gone by 28. You get to 28. Well, you might like Samuel, but how much do you play into, I just don't like him at 28. I like him at 37 or, you know, whatever they have him on his board. And that's, you know, this is kind of like the difference between picking games straight up and picking with the spread. Right. I mean,
right.
You know, I think the best case scenario would be somebody like Farley or Newsom that could get close enough back, fall just enough to where it's not this big, huge jump with a lot of draft capital that the Saints would have to give up to get up and get him. I saw a mock recently. I think I posted it to you guys, and that was like a dream mock when I opened it up. Of course, it'll never happen, but they had Newsom and Farley going at 23 and 24. Well, hell, that's the same neighborhood. I mean, you know, that would be beyond anything that I think anybody could imagine would happen. But there's going to be good defensive players that are going to get shoved down in this draft because of the sheer number of quarterbacks and wide receivers that are going to go high in this draft.
Yep.
We're going to see some offensive glut at the top of the draft like we haven't seen lately. A lot of it's going to be reaching. We already talked about with the quarterbacks. There's going to be some seriously disappointed people down the road. But that be as it may, they're still going to do it. And we're talking about potentially three or four wide receivers. Might even be a running back in there somewhere before we get, you know, which doesn't happen that much anymore anyway. But wide receiver, it is a need. And yes, I would like to see that guy. Of course, I think most Saints fans have been hoping for the Saints to draft a big time wide receiver for a number of years now, whether it made sense or not with Drew Brees' arm and this, that, and the other. I mean, hell, when's the last time we did that? Was it Cooks, I guess? Is that the last guy that?
Yeah.
Other than Michael Thomas, but I mean, a guy that can get
more of a first round draft pick guy that's supposed to be an impact player.
Right. You know, we've salivated over the Julio Joneses and all these kinds of guys coming out year after year after year. And the Saints have, you know, outside of Michael Thomas, who I look at Michael Thomas a little bit different than I did those other guys, those kind of do everything kind of guys. They can get down the field, they can catch short, they can blah, 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 you know. That guy's not going to be there at 28, I don't think. I don't know that I would pick him there anyway. I'm less concerned about wide receiver just because of the way the Saints run now. Even without Drew Brees as quarterback, I don't think it'll be that dramatically different. That Jameis Winston has enough guys out there that can get the job done at wide receiver. But, I hope something shakes loose at cornerback because that's the one position that really scares me right now. And for me, it doesn't really change a whole hell of a lot. It does somewhat. Maybe I can't say it. You know, the Richard Sherman thing. I keep letting my personal feelings about Richard Sherman get in the way of how he is as a player. And this was a point Wes made a while back, and it was a good point. You know, Richard Sherman's not garbage as a cornerback. I just don't like the guy.
Right.
And so, but I got to stop conflating the two and say, you know, okay, well, how would it be if Richard Sherman winds up being a guy? And Richard Sherman's probably still pretty good. I don't know that I want to rely on him only, though. And what is he, a one-year option?
Yeah.
You know, how long is he going to be around, right? So you still need somebody. And then there's the whole Lattimore issue, like you said. So I really, really hope something shakes out that the Saints could go cornerback in the first round and get a guy, you know, that would alleviate a lot of stress and fill the biggest hole that I think they have right now.
I agree with you, Heath. Like my thing is I don't want to draft, you know, Samuel or Stokes in the first round. So if all the cornerbacks are gone, then I'm right there to, if, you know, a linebacker like Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah or Nick Bolton or Zaven Collins is there, then I'm drafting those. But because I don't want Samuel or Stokes in one of those, you know, late second, early third round cornerbacks in the first.
Yeah. I mean, between the all of the writers' mock drafts and the simulations that people have run and posted, I think Larry Holder, I saw him the other day, he was on Matt Moscana's show, and he ran, I don't remember, 50 or 100 simulations based on Pro Football's weighting index or whatever he was talking, you know, all this stuff. Zaven Collins was the most mocked guy to the Saints out of all of his simulations that he ran. I can't remember who was second. The odd part was, and this is something we haven't talked about, right? But this would be the monkey wrench that nobody sees coming. The third most mocked guy to the Saints was ATN, from the running back from Clemson, right?
Oh yeah.
And so, you know, it would be, you know, or Najee Harris or somebody, like, you know, Saints pick somebody to push Murray out and be the other guy behind Kamara or something, you know, if Sean Payton feels like he can be a weapon in his offense. So we've talked about all this, and just like you said, in the end, throw it all out the window when the draft starts, because it'll probably go nothing like I've envisioned it going.
But that's a given.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. This year feels different to me because the Saints were able to keep most of, you know, the really important guys intact. We have a few holes here and there. And this, to me, feels like a year where you would be better off to keep or even acquire more picks and try to get more guys, rather than giving up a bunch of picks to go up and get way up to get one guy. I don't know. What do you think? You know, it feels a little bit different this year than it has in past years to me about what the strategy for the draft would be if I was the one calling the shot.
Well, I alluded to that earlier. And again, you know, look, to me, it, not knowing the Saints history, what makes sense is if your guy's not there, cornerback, slide down a little bit, get a guy with better value, pick up or move up from the third round to the later second round and get value and fill holes with good players. The fact of the matter is that just the Saints history has always proven out that, that they just move up. And so I'm having a hard time even saying it without putting that disclaimer in there. But I mean, to me, the value seems to be, if you don't have the guy you want at 28, is not to move up. Although, okay. And again, okay. So here's all the situations we have thrown out there, but you made a very good point. If two of the guys that you need is like at 24, now you're not talking about giving, you know, 2/3 and next year's first to move up to, because what really gets me, yeah, you want the player this year, but when you give up a first next year to get a second this year, or even, you know, you give up a second next year to get a third this year, that just kind of rubs me the wrong way for that instant gratification. And then next year you're sitting there, why did we do that? You know, so I think it's just important, especially the Saints have drafted well. The Saints seem to get the players that they can bring into the building that do a good job. I don't know if having less picks at the top of the draft is really the answer right now, because I don't believe, unless Jameis Winston turns into everything he was supposed to be out of college, I there's just too many holes for the Saints to be moving up for one player. But I will say, and I think we all agree, cornerback is maybe the single most important, because you can be good at every other position, but if they can constantly go after that one guy and be successful, nothing else really matters. And that's what we always saw in the past. As soon as you tighten it up with a good cornerback opposed to Lattimore, then all of a sudden things just didn't work so well. There was inconsistency. You forced punts. And it's just, there has to be a guy there. There has to be.
Yeah, I agreed 100%. And I guess I can see both sides being the extreme of like the draft strategy. One, as you say, the Saints do really well with draft analysis. So if they have a guy that they like, they should trade up at all costs to get him. And then there's the other side of, well, the Saints are really good at draft analysis and getting people late, so shouldn't they trade back and have
right right?
I can talk myself into either one. And this year is extremely weird because we didn't have a combine, and there's a lot of these players that are, I mean, high picks that sat out the last year, and we haven't even seen them play football in, you know, 16 months.
Yeah.
So I mean, I go back and forth. I go, hey, maybe this is a benefit to the Saints because they do so good with some of their analysis and their Zoom meetings and the way that they interview people and the way they test them. And then I go, maybe it's a bad thing for the Saints because the Saints are so good at, and you know, at meeting people with a combine and all. So
I honestly think the history shows us which way they should go, right? Sean Payton is, and anybody else in organization, has never been shy about talking about how they openly talking about how they wanted to emulate the Patriots as a franchise, right? However, the one thing they've never come remotely close to doing is emulating the thing that's probably made the Patriots the most successful, and that's knowing what to do with draft capital, right? Yeah. The Patriots do not move up. They constantly move down and pick up extra picks. And they do that because they're good at analyzing players and picking the right players well, in large part to fit their scheme. And that's a problem the Saints used to have, I think. I think more lately they've been doing a better job of that. But what success have they really had moving up to pick guys versus finding these later round guys that they evaluate really well? I think it's obvious that they should play more of that Patriots strategy in their draft because they do such a good job at evaluating these guys. But they fall in love with some of these guys and trade up. And can you show me real examples of where that's paid off for them?
Well, like Kamara and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson are two people in the recent years where they were like, a lot of other teams thought those people would continue to fall. And the Saints were sold they overpicked Kamara and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson by, you know, half a round or a full round by some teams.
Well, yeah. I'm talking about more the big item guy, the two firsts for Davenport.
Go ahead and have your head explode. We don't talk about that anymore.
Yeah, we don't.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? What's another example of a guy that did that? Wasn't Cooks? Wasn't he?
Yeah, we went up for him.
Went up for Ingram, which I still don't like.
Right. So I think that tells us right there, this thing about going up in the first round and giving up high, big draft capital to go up in the first round has not paid off for the Saints. I mean,
I think this is a sophomoric way of looking at it, but I'm trying to agree with Heath in the sense that, man, if you're getting guys like, you know, the Chauncey Gardners and the Kamaras and the name the other guys if we've gotten in the third. Well, man, what if we had two or three second round draft picks, you know, like as opposed to 128th pick, you know, I have confidence, I guess more confidence that the Saints could come up with some viable starters, good starters in the second round. And especially when you start talking about value, I'll use last year as an example, man, look what we've done with some guards in the draft back all the way to Jari Evans I can't remember the other kid's name. But some of the best guards in the league that they got in the fifth and sixth round, the fourth round.
Oh, yeah.
And then Kamara in the third round, but then we trade up for a guy like, you know, two firsts for Davenport. Now, I defend that because you need, those are like the cornerbacks and which also leads into, I might say, hey man, they got to do it to get the cornerback, right? I mean, what's the point of drafting a guy that's always going to be borderline if you go up and get a guy that's going to be a very good player for the next 8 years, you know? So it's a double-edged sword, and that's why you leave it to them and their analysis of it. But they have proven to me, at least I feel confident, that they can get guys that can be starters, and that's why it bothers me when they give away so many picks. And in the past, I get it. You don't have room on the roster. Last year, the Saints did not have room in the roster to have eight rookies, and especially sixth-round picks and seventh-round picks to develop them. This year, they do. And so I think it's just the wise thing to do is to fill your roster with good talent. And then when you get to the point where those positions are filled, then you start upgrading them. And the salary cap has really hurt us. So when you get all these things solved next year, then you start working on it. I don't know. I'm all over the place because, quite frankly, I'm trying to have a direction, and maybe I'm glad the Saints do have a direction. Because I really don't. I don't know what they should do. Should they go up and get the one good guy or drop back in the second round, get a couple of Kamaras and some Chauncey Gardner Juniors? What's the answer to that? I don't know.
My slightly different way of saying the exact same thing I feel, Dave, is I think the Saints evaluate and draft well in the first round, the second round, the third round, the fourth round, and the fifth round. So if I could have two second-round picks versus one first-round pick, I'd rather have two. You know what I mean? So
Yes.
So give me more picks. If I think that they draft well.
Okay, so if you give me a second to think about it, maybe this is what I'm saying. If you're looking for a cornerback or a defensive end, a left tackle, or a quarterback, then you got to trade up. Yep. I don't think you need to trade up for guards, for receivers, and those positions. And maybe after I thought about what I was saying for a second, because you can't really get an impact cornerback. I'm not saying exceptions don't happen. They always happen. But you're not going to get an impact quarterback in the second round. You're not going to get an impact cornerback in the second round. But you can get your receivers there all day long. You can get your linebackers there all day long. And maybe that's the key, is let's trade back if we're not looking for a cornerback, but we are seriously looking for a cornerback.
Seriously.
Maybe.
Well, okay, if we're not looking for him, we should be. Is that a fair way to say it?
We don't know what the Saints' other plans are. Look, I'm okay.
We know it's guard, Heath. I don't know why you're beating around the bush.
No. I like I said, I'm okay to go up a little, right? I don't want to go up way high and have to – but, you know, if that scenario happens where one of those guys gets to 23 or 24, okay, and you can go up and get that guy from 28, it's not going to cost you the same – is, you know, trying to, like you said before, Horn or Surtain or one of these guys that's going to be way up high in the, I'm okay with that. Really? And that would, you know, but generally speaking, I think it's become pretty clear to me that the Saints should have, and I've actually said this for a number of years now, so it's nothing new. The Saints should have long ago adopted a more Patriots-like draft strategy than what they've done. And it, I think it would have paid off more in the long run, because the Saints do operate well when they don't trade up in the first round, basically. Anything beyond that, they've done pretty good at. To trading up in the first round, I think historically now we can say it doesn't work out for them.
At least not. Go ahead.
I was going to say, are you guys just acting like y'all didn't see Grant Haley play against the Panthers last year and that Keith Washington didn't lead the team in interceptions? The practice squad all season last year and didn't even get a sniff from another team, and that Chase Hansen and Caden Ellis aren't coming back healthy this year. Like, we all just forget this. We don't need linebackers and cornerbacks.
No, obviously not.
You're right. We don't, but what we do need is linebackers and cornerbacks that aren't on injured reserve.
Yeah. Well, isn't it funny how you can look at your roster and it's so deep. Yep. And like cornerback, man, if we use that first round pick and get us a cornerback or Heath's idea, let's move just to 24 and we can get, you know, Horn or, you know, we're set. And then all of a sudden, you know, let's say Lattimore gets suspended for 4 weeks. And now you're like, we're screwed. Or even listen. And I agree with what you said, Heath. Matter of fact, I want to give you some kudos because I'm not a fan of Sherman either. But it's personality. I will say that I do believe, though, sooner or later, just like Breece, you got to quit hanging on to the fact that he used to be all right, used to be pretty good. At some point, he's just not that player anymore, but maybe has another year. But can you imagine if problem, we don't draft? Let's say we go in with a second round, late second round cornerback and Sherman as your starter for the first four games. What do you think the results of that are going to be?
Yeah.
You mean like Kelvin Joseph basically being across from Lattimore?
I think right.
A whole lot of passing yards in the first 15 games of the season. Then maybe by the last two of the season, we're okay.
Okay. So I'm a piggyback, just a thought, and we don't have to go deep into this, but what I've thought about this before, wasn't thinking about it now until we brought it up, but here's where I see a problem. Lattimore gets suspended for four games. We got a second round because somebody drops, or we get a guard in the first round, so we get a corner in the second round. And then now we have Sherman, this rookie, and then we still have a hole at linebacker, and we got these problems, right? Yep. And then you have Winston back there, who, if he took over last year's roster, would have just completely tore it up. But instead, he's chasing constantly like Breece was in 2014, 15, 16. And, you know, he doesn't have what it takes to keep up in the same way without throwing interceptions. And so he goes from a guy that could have been like, man, with that defense, he would have been amazing, to now we're like, he sucks and we got to replace him, because not necessarily because it's his fault, because he was playing from behind the entire season.
Yeah. That's why I think the Saints are going to go defense, honestly.
I just want to make sure exactly what you're saying, Dave, I understood. You're saying Breece should retire a year earlier?
No, I did not say that.
I said that.
It sounded like that's what he did. You hear that?
Well, that's where I said that a year ago. So
okay, but if I'm going to take my hot stance, the people right now who are thinking that, a matter of fact, I saw a post on Saints Report that said, you know, could he come back? And somebody said, geez, and crackers, can we just let it go? I mean, he deserves this. Last year was his. He deserves one more year. He deserves one more shot. He has enough. We're not sure if he has enough in the tank. That was last year. Yes. Going forward, no. Look, he got everything he should have got, all the respect he got. The guy deserved everything. It is time to move forward. Whether it's good or bad, moving that direction is no longer a viable option, and people just need to kind of embrace that and come to grips with it.
Yeah. You know, it's hard.
That's what Heath said.
You can understand from a Saints fan's perspective, right? Because they remember the 35 years of the franchise before Drew Breece. And so,
oh, yes.
It's hard to let go to some extent, you know, because and anything else that we know as Saints fans without Drew Brees wasn't so good. So, but yeah, no, I mean, obviously I agree on that point, but I think the Saints should actually go, you know, again, now value and who's there at what pick and what, you know, best player available and all that kind of stuff. But in my opinion, for the, it will be a really happy and successful draft if we're able to help some of these defensive positions, because we lost a starter at every level, right? At least one, and some key reserves and also. Yep. But in that same way, I think the Saints are going to run a similar, especially since we had, you know, these not on the show necessarily, but we've had discussion between us about how when you look at Jameis Winston, he's not a proficient 60-yard down the field passer or dropping bombs accurately down the field on a regular basis, right? The perception, because he can throw the ball 75 yards on his knees or whatever, doesn't mean he ought to be doing it in the game a whole lot. And so if Jameis Winston comes into the Saints offense, which I'm expecting, and looks a lot closer to Drew Brees than Ben Roethlisberger or somebody like people have probably got running through their head right now, I think the Saints offensive players are still going to fit that well enough that if they give him a good defense, he's going to have a much better chance than trying to load him up with offensive weapons and have him sling the ball down the field. And like you said, be trying to win games 45 to 42 every week.
Yeah, right. I agree. I think that the ceiling is quite high for our offensive line with a efficient quarterback with Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara, and then whatever other mix of, you know, misfit offensive toys we have with wide receivers and running backs and quarterbacks playing tight end. I think there's something that can be very good on offense there, enough to win a whole bunch of football games with those tools.
All right. Well, listen, I know I already talked to Wesley about this. I don't know, Heath, you never got back to me. For everybody out there, we're going to do a draft live stream with the Dome Patrol guys. So we're going to be mixing and matching and just having a big old discussion. And it's supposed to be the entire first round. It's going to be fun. So you guys make sure you check that out and come join us for that. Heath, are you going to join us, or you don't know if you'll be able to make it?
I'm not 100% sure, but if I can, I will.
Okay. And so anyway, y'all going to want to check that out. It's going to be a live stream, and I'm sure it's going to be very off the cuff, just kind of having fun with it and giving some analysis and some BS that we like to do. But all right, Wesley, any final thoughts, anything you want to share that we may not have discussed about the draft coming up on Thursday?
I think it's probably clear that everything that we said is wrong. They're going to, we're going to go into it. And I mean, there's going to be a couple of guards and maybe a tackle and a blocking tight end that might as well be playing tackle. And
And Heath said that we definitely drafted a punter in the first round. So, I mean,
And Tyler Shelvin. Obviously we're getting Tyler Shelvin to play defense.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Heath.
That's it. You know, the one curveball that, you know, wouldn't just absolutely, you know, I don't want to see a lineman or any of that. But if the Saints were so inclined that at 28, they felt that, you know, Marshall from LSU or Tony from Florida or one of these wide receivers that might be around in that area is the way to go, you know, surprise me that way. Not with another guard or backup center or something or whatever, but.
You know, I think I this is just my speculation, the Saints, in an effort to extend Brees' career, really invested in the offensive line, and they really invested into big, strong receivers. And I think that we can see some, you know, it's going to be some more exciting guys, not guys that can get open and catch a ball in traffic, but some guys that can get down the field. And that's when you're going to see some of the guys on the team that are already here will be different players, because – you know, one of the things Brees need is big, tough guys. And so smaller guys that weren't as tough around, you know, that 10-yard area that take hits from linebackers probably didn't maximize their ability. So it's going to be interesting to see either way. But I would hope and think that when Brees was in his heyday, we didn't have the best tackles. We had the best interior. Now our interior has some questions in it, and hopefully guys improve. But we have outstanding tackles. So that means that a guy like Winston can drop back and feel pretty confident that he'd get the ball out. So to me, I would be really shocked, but I was shocked last year when we drafted a guard. So anyway, for Heath Elson-San and Wesley Coleman, this is Dave Romero, and you've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast crew. and we will talk to you after the draft.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back, and that's the way it is.
Everyone is a so dumb, miss. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, oh boy, don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh, girl, give your time to David, Heath, and Thomas. We do this every week. Every Wednesday, so don't miss. We do this every week. Every Wednesday, so don't.